Okay, this is interview number 8 in the Raymond Goetz Oral History Project, and it is February 21st. Tell me your name, please.
Steve Buchady.
And just tell me a little bit about your career as a lawyer.
Okay. Well, I graduated from KU in January of 1975. I spent a year and a half in Topeka with a trial firm, Fisher, Patterson, Saylor, and Smith. I spent the next 22 years with the labor law firm of Blake and Ulig. And then, as you know, I started my own law firm in 1998, which actually went under various names as I took in partners. And the final name of the firm was Buchady, Aubrey, and Huntsman, and I retired from that on August 1st of 2019.
How long were you a union side lawyer?
43 years.
Okay. Had you ever met Ray Goetz before you saw him in class the first time?
I had not.
Okay. Had you heard anything about Professor Goetz before you saw him in class the first time?
No, I started law school in the summer, and he actually taught the freshman contracts class. So, you know, I had him very early on for class.
Which classes did you take from him?
Well, two contracts classes and labor law. They didn't have any advanced labor law when I was at KU. We were such dinosaurs.
Do you recall your first classroom impression of Professor Goetz?
Well, my first impression was he was very stern, and, you know, was very well organized. But I'm sorry, my other phone's ringing. He obviously knew his stuff. He seemed very organized, and later when I saw the movie Paper Chase, the way Goetz was in our freshman contracts kind of reminded me of Paper Chase. But that was my first impression of him.
What were his classes like?
I would say orderly. You know, he really believed in the Socratic method. And he was very different in labor law than in contracts. You know, your freshman year law school, they try to put the fear of God in you. By the time you take some of these upper level classes are different. In labor law, he was very impressive. I mean, he really knew the field well. I really feel like he taught you a lot. And he also seemed to have, I don't know if passion is the right word, but there may be a passion for labor law. So,
do you remember how he treated his students?
Again, the freshman class was very different from labor law. I thought in the labor law class, but of course, you know, by then most of the students that are in there wanted to learn something about labor law, and I thought he was respectful. I thought he was also encouraging. I've got a story to tell you. I don't know if this is the appropriate place, but
it is. Go ahead.
I came from a union family. My dad was a Teamster. After coming back from World War II, he was probably a Teamster for 30 years before he retired. He was a union steward. He worked for one of the truck lines, PIE, Pacific Intermountain Express. And they had two groups of stewards under the Local 41 contract. One represented the over-the-road drivers, and the other represented the dock workers and the in-town drivers. And my dad was the steward on the dock for, I would guess, 20, 25 years. So I grew up in a union family. All my uncles belonged to various unions, meat cutters. Actually, one was a bartender, belonged to, you know, I'm not even sure which one it was, the hotel union. And my dad was real interested that I was taking labor law, and we had Saturday classes when I was in law school, in part because Old Green Hall, where I graduated, was so small, they didn't have enough room. So they had to spread out the classes. And I took the labor law class was on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Saturday mornings. And we would, after class, when KU was playing football in town, we'd go to the football game after class. Well, my dad and a buddy of his, who was also a real active union guy, were coming up to go to one of the KU football games with us. And I talked to Professor Getz, about a week in advance, and said, you know, my dad would love to meet with you. You know, he's been a lifelong union guy. And Getz said, yeah, sure. Have him come up, you know, an hour before class or whatever, and we'll sit in my office. My dad and his buddy came up, and Getz could not have been more accommodating. And I'll tell you, my dad was 3 feet off the ground talking to this renowned arbitrator and labor law professor. And you know, they talk shop. My dad would tell him about some of the cases he had as a steward and, you know, some of the strikes and things he'd been through. And it was that stuck with me my whole life. It's just how cool Getz was about the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a great story. Did you ever have any students in contracts, especially more likely, that weren't prepared when Getz called?
Yeah, occasionally, especially because, you know, your very first class, and in the summer school, you only took a couple classes each session. And Getz made it very clear that he was extremely unhappy. And, you know, and they would get a lecture about if they wanted to be a lawyer, they had to be prepared and yada, yada. He was not very tolerant of people who didn't prepare. I think he's one of the professors who said, you know, I spent all this time preparing for class. I've already got my law degree. What are you doing? So.
Did you and your fellow students ever discuss his teaching style?
You know, probably just in general terms that he wasn't a guy you wanted to piss off, but, also, you know, just as a general matter, he was just a very good instructor. I really felt like in every class I took from him, I learned a lot. And you probably remember if you had him for labor law or if you had him for contracts, he drove a Volkswagen. He had two Volkswagens. A Volkswagen Beetle or Bug, and then a Volkswagen, I don't know, minivan or something like that. And he was forever using those as examples. The one that still sticks with me today is when he would talk about a mutual mistake in a contract. And, you know, he meant to sign a contract for his VW Bug, but somebody had written in VW Bus. So the person at the other end thought he'd bought the minivan when in fact Getz intended to sell him the Beetle. But I mean, he just did stuff like that. He really tried to give you examples that were kind of down to earth that helped you understand the subjects that he was teaching.
Yep. Did you ever talk? First, did he ever invite you or your class over to his home?
No.
Did you ever go see him during his office hours?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, especially as I recall in the labor law, you know, when I would have some questions about a boy's market injunction or other various things that were kind of technical, he always had an open door policy. My recollection is, God, we're going way back, Doug. I think you had to make an appointment, but I remember going to his office a couple of times and walking out thinking, oh, so that's what that meant, you know? And I just thought he was just an excellent teacher. He could really explain things. And I know because labor law is his passion, he really seemed to go out of his way that if you didn't understand something, you know, come and see me and we'll talk about it. And then he had a pretty good open door policy. Some of the professors really didn't like being bothered because they were busy writing their law review articles or their books, but he always seemed to be available, you know, if you had a question, and he didn't make it intimidating where you were afraid to go talk to him.
Did you ever work for him as a research assistant?
Say again.
Did you ever work for him as a research assistant?
I did not.
Did you know him as an arbitrator?
I never had a case with him. I'll tell you how. Here's another story, and I don't know if this helps you or not. As you know, I was at Blake and Ulick for 22 years. When I left there, I was a senior partner. And when I first went there, Ray Getz was still doing some work for the Boilermaker National Pension Fund, which, of course, was one of our biggest clients. And actually, he was trying to do their collection work while maintaining that hectic schedule he had as a professor and an arbitrator. And I remember him coming into the office a couple of times in KCK and talking to us. And finally, you know, I told Blake, I said, well, we could do this, because he was overloaded. He was having trouble keeping up on these things. And I said, well, we can handle this. This is just simple collection stuff. I mean, it may be a little more sophisticated, but, when you had the provisions in ERISA that allowed you for attorney's fees and stuff, it was pretty straightforward. So long story short, as a result of Ray Getz, we ended up doing all of the work for the Boilermaker Pension Fund.
Well, that had
been a client of his before he became a law professor, and he kind of kept it, but he was trying to get away from it.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Do you know if Blake and Ulig used him as an arbitrator?
I did not, and I have a vague recollection that it may have been Tom Marshall, but one of the guys I think had used him on a panel, and it may have been a case that settled, but I'm not sure. But again, God, you're asking me to go back a long way.
Yeah,
I do remember seeing his name on some panels.
Ray served in various capacities in the ABA's labor committee and in the Kansas City chapter of the old IRRA. Did you ever serve with him in any of those capacities?
I did not.
Did you ever socialize with him and his family?
I do remember him coming to a couple of they were kind of like cocktail parties. They were receptions that were being put on by either the Boilermakers International Union or the Pension Fund. More likely it was the International Union at one of the big hotels like the Hyatt or the hotel at Crown Center is at the Westin. So I do remember seeing him a couple times at those things. And it may have even been like their Christmas party, but I do remember visiting with him a little bit like that. It was so interesting how different he was there than he was in the classroom. So,
yeah. So describe that.
Well, he's very personable. He was, I would say, actually kind of gregarious, and of course, I think it was, a partner of mine who sat right next to me in Getz's labor law class was Rich Calcara, who ended up doing almost exclusively work for the Boilermaker Pension Fund. Well, and then some other fringe benefit, labor management trust funds in town. But I think it was a source of pride to him that two of his students had spent their career in labor law, or at least, I don't know how long it had been then, 5 or 10 years. But you could tell he was kind of proud of that, you know.
Yeah, and that's great.
And he liked to give John Blake a hard time. But that was just kind of that natural camaraderie thing. I think that he respected all the people at our firm, at least the ones that he knew. But
did he give Blake a hard time?
You're asking me to go back a long way, but it would be something like Well, yeah, you took care of that only because I showed you how to do it or something like that.
Okay. Do you remember the last time you would have seen Ray?
Oh, boy. I do not.
You remember hearing that he had died?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how did that affect you when you heard he had passed?
Well, obviously, it made me very sad. You know, this was a guy that did have a lot to do with my becoming a labor lawyer. I mean, I was always interested in labor. As an undergraduate, I majored in economics, and I took all the labor classes, labor economics. I even took a collective bargaining class in which I was chosen as the chief labor negotiator. We actually negotiated a contract. But Getz did have a lot to do with my becoming a labor lawyer. In fact, here's a story I forgot to tell you. Like most law students, I interviewed my last semester in law school, and I graduated, you know, at the semester instead of in May. And I had accepted a job with Fisher Patterson, which actually worked out good for me because I got some good trial experience. But after that, Getz called me while I was still a student and said, you know, there's a labor law firm in Kansas City that represents unions, and I know you're interested in that, but is looking for an associate. And I talked to him, and I said, well, I would be really interested, but I did take this job with a trial firm. Do you think it would be a mistake to back out on that? And I really admired this. He said, yes. He said, you know, you don't want to start off right out of law school like that. If you make a commitment to a firm that you're going to go to work for them, you should go to work for them. He asked me, I can't remember how this came about. Either he or Blake and Ulick asked me if there was anyone out. Oh, no, I know what happened. I called Cal Kara because that lazy shit didn't have a job a month before we were graduating. And I said, hey, this firm in Kansas City is looking for an associate, you know, and you took labor law like me. You may want to get a hold of Getz and he ended up calling Getz. He ended up interviewing Blake and Ulick, and they hired him. And then a year and a half later, after I'd been at Fisher Patterson, and I'll be honest with you, Topeka wasn't my favorite place in the world. and that comes from a guy who was stationed at Fort Hood, Texas for a year and a half. But Cal Kara called me and said, hey, we're looking for another associate. A guy named Bob Funk, who'd been one of the partners, had left to become the general counsel for the what was then the retail clerks. And he said, would you be interested? And I said, oh, yeah. And actually, John Blake came to Topeka a couple times and interviewed me and then offered me a job. So it's kind of a full circle story. But Getz did actually refer me to Blake and Ulick while I was still in law school.
Yeah, that's great.
And to get back to your question, I mean, I felt kind of a loss because, you know, he was just such a great guy and what a mind. I mean, the man was brilliant, as you know, and just but he didn't walk around with his nose up in the clouds. But man, he was intelligent. He was organized. Oh, I remember here's one other thing, and this is probably doesn't matter much, but this has stuck with me my whole career. Getz said to us, our class, he said, you know, when you get out of law school, writing is going to be extremely important. There are going to be all kinds of people who, before they have ever met you, are going to review something you've done in writing. It may be a letter, it may be a brief, it could be anything. And they're going to form opinions about you based on those writings. And if you're sloppy in your writing, if it has grammatical errors, if it's poorly worded and poorly reasoned, they're going to form a negative opinion of you before you've ever had a chance to make a first impression in person. And boy, that always stuck with me. And to be honest with you, as a guy who hired a lot of lawyers over 45 years, I was just amazed at how often I would see resumes that had grammatical errors in it, and it just blew my mind. I mean, you want me to hire you, and you can't even put down correctly on your resume where you went to school. You know, just
yeah. Did you ever talk to Ray about your military service and his?
I don't remember talking about his, but I do remember talking a little bit about mine. And he did seem to kind of have a soft spot for us veterans. And now that I think of it, both Rich Calcare and I were veterans. And I mean, he didn't go out of his way just to act like veterans were better than anybody else. But you could tell. And I remember, too, you know, I told you about that, how he so graciously met with my dad and his buddy on a Saturday before a football game. And my dad was pretty decorated in World War II. He was a Marine Corps sergeant in the Pacific. And his buddy had been in the Navy. And I remember those two and Getz talking about the military quite a bit, now that you mention it. I mean, they just didn't talk about unions. That was part of the discussion. And you could tell that Getz, well, I remember in some fashion, Professor Getz complimented both of those guys on their military service. So
that's great. Well, any other memories you can think of that we haven't discussed?
No, not offhand. You know, again, we're going back into the early 1970s. So
yeah,
I just had such a high opinion of him. Not only from his days as a professor, but then from the contact I did have with him after I graduated. And boy, you know, it was a great loss to everybody when we did lose him, but also it was a real feather in the cap of the KU Law School that they had a professor of that caliber. You know, I'm sorry, I have trouble believing that any Ivy League school in the country had anybody better than that teaching labor law.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop the recording.